Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue our current series of studies, the I Ams of John's Gospel. And today particularly, we wish to consider the I Am of sanctification and the I Am of glorification. You notice we're using the words I Am because our Lord Jesus Christ is the great I Am of the Scriptures. He does not have a beginning. He always existed. He is the I Am. First, we wish to consider the I Am of sanctification, and we will spend our time today largely in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. In verse 6 of that chapter, we read, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given them unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. He goes on praying. Now, first of all, we wish to speak of the Lord as our sanctification. He is the one that sets us apart. Sanctification involves separation from the world and to association with Christ. It's twofold. It's a separation from and it's association with Christ. Now, we are in the world, and this is very remarkable in the 17th chapter of John. We are in the world, but not of the world, and we're sent back into the world. In verse 11 of John chapter 17, we read these words. The Lord Jesus speaks, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. I'm adding the one there. Now, he says in verse 14, I have given them thy word, because the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, in verse 11, we are in the world. In verse 14, we are not of the world. And in verse 16, we read, continuing the thought, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, took us out of this world when he saved us and sent us back into the world to be a servant for him. We have a mission. We are sent back into the world. We did not read that, but it is recorded. He says in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. This is our position as a Christian. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are sent back into the world by our Lord Jesus Christ to indeed be a witness for him. And that is, he's praying for his own in the 17th chapter of John. He wants us indeed to be sanctified, that is, set apart for Christ, set apart for God. That's what it means to be set apart. And it involves separation from the world to association with Christ. It's twofold, and we cannot forget that. Now, he is the I Am of our sanctification. We are associated with Christ, and we are in this world for him. Now, we go on. He is the I Am of glorification. He is glorified in us who know him by his life that is in us. That came by reason of the new birth. John chapter 3, and on our last broadcast, we mentioned the fact that we are born into the family of God, as we must as we were, indeed, born into the family of man, so we must be born into the family of God through the new birth. This is recorded faithfully in the third chapter of John's Gospel, where the Lord tells us we must be born again, be born into God's family. Now, the Christ is the I Am of that glorification, and he is glorified in us by his life that's in us, by his spirit that controls us. We are conformed to his image by the Spirit of God. We read in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called of God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now that is the first step in our glorification, is that we are conformed to the image of Christ. God thought so much of Christ that he wanted millions in heaven just like him. And the Spirit of God is in the world today, conforming all those that know our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, conforming us to his image. We read that also in the last verse of the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. God is doing a work in us, and he'll do far more in us than he'll ever do through us. But God is working in us, and we are being glorified, the I Am of glorification, and he is glorified in us. Now that's a comforting thought. It's a very wonderful thought. We're not glorified in our own right. We're glorified because Christ wants to be glorified in us. This is the essence of it. Christ is a glorious person. We are so to be like him that we actually magnify his glory by just simply living the life of Christ. He lives his life through us. He is glorified in us. And that all started with the new birth, as recorded in John chapter 3. Paul stated in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now Christ is glorified in his people. God is glorified in his people. How? By reproducing Christ in them. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. He conforms us to the image of Christ. We read in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who were the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now that's God's purpose for us. I'm going to read that again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And the Spirit of God is doing that work right now. He is duplicating Christ in you and me by the power of the Spirit of God. How wonderful it is that we're being cast into the image of Christ. It has been well said, and it bears repetition, that God thought so much of Christ that he wanted millions in heaven just like him. And that is the highest blessing that God has got for you and for me, conforming us to the image of Christ. Now, naturally, we are not in the image of Christ, and the process sometimes is quite painful. We sometimes do not know exactly what is going on in our lives. Sometimes troubles come into our lives. Sometimes the unexplained troubles and trials that we go through, we don't understand what God is doing with us. But what he is doing with us is conforming us to the image of his dear Son. And we have his Son as the example. And God is doing that through you and me by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, as we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18. I think I shall read that wonderful verse. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same glory, image rather, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I think I shall read that again. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and the Bible is the mirror that mirrors the glories of Christ. It's spoken of as a glass in the first chapter of the Epistle of James. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, as we contemplate Christ, we become more like Christ. The Spirit of God brings Christ before you and me that we might become like Christ. If you admire a person, you become more and more like that person. I have heard young preachers. This was particularly true of one brother in the Lord. I'm not going to speak his name at all. I think that he so admired another man that he just almost mimicked that man. They both were godly men. And the younger brother just tried to be like the older brother. Well, I admired that. But our real pattern is Christ himself. And when you and I so admire our Lord Jesus Christ, but the Spirit of God changes us into the image of Christ. That is, now this is not a transfiguration. We're not ready for heaven quite yet. But he produces Christ in us. We are conformed to his image by the power of the Spirit of God. He is the I am of glorification, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now his work will be completed at the rapture, 1 John 3:2. God is doing more in us than he'll ever do through us. I'll read John 3:2. It will be very profitable. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So the Spirit of God is doing a work. He is reproducing Christ in you and me. How does he do it? When we contemplate Christ, he becomes, that is, he indeed develops Christ within us. To see Christ is to become like Christ. And he is doing more in us, as we said a moment ago, than he will ever do through us. Oh, what an exalted ministry the Spirit of God has. The Lord Jesus is our sanctification, our glorification. May he have his way in our lives. Father, accomplish the purposes of the Spirit in us, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Amen.